Thank you, Guy. We're in Ephesians chapter 6, or chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 22, and we're continuing in Ephesians. And we're looking at God's design for husband and wife. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word as they apply to marriage. And I'm just so thankful that we have your pure word to guide us and direct us, especially as husband and wife, and those who are young and one day might marry. They have this plan that you've given us on how we are to behave with one another. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So I went on the internet to find out what people say about when marriage first appeared. And these are people who aren't believers. And one wedding website said, the first recorded evidence of marriage ceremonies uniting one woman and one man dates back to around 2350 BC in Mesopotamia. Another website wrote that evidence of marriages dates back to ancient civilizations such as Mesopotamia, Egypt, and Greece. If people that only read the Bible, they know where marriage was created. It wasn't invented by men. Marriage is what God established as soon as he created Adam and Eve. As Guy read in Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. God established marriage between a man and a woman from the very beginning of creation. That's the family, the beginning of the family, a husband and wife. And from this union between a man and woman, children are born and raised. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That means have lots of kids and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. But God didn't establish marriage without telling us how it's to work. And there are many verses in the New Testament that tell us how a husband and wife are to interact with one another. And Ephesians 5:22 to 33 gives us the structure of marriage that we need to take to heart to minimize conflicts between one another. And of course, we know no marriage is without conflicts. No marriage is without heartaches or strife from time to time. That's because we're sinners. We've been saved by the grace of God. And as saved believers, we still sin from time to time. We might say things and do things to our spouses that can cause arguments or cause hurt. But to have a stable relationship that weathers the ups and downs of married life, we must apply to doing what it says in Ephesians 5, 22 to 33, whether you're a husband or a wife. For when we do what God says, we can enjoy peace within our relationship. A harmonious marriage is made possible by following God's design for husband and wife. And there's two instructions that Ephesians chapter 5 gives to the wife as to how she's to relate to her husband. And then there are three instructions given to the husband as to how he is to relate to his wife. Men have more instructions because men are slow learners. They need to be instructed more. So let's first consider wives. The first instruction given is submit to your husband. Wives, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So what does submit mean? Submit means to yield to the authority of another. It doesn't mean as a wife you aren't to express an opinion about a decision that needs to be made on something. For example, if your husband has a job offer in another province or maybe even another country, and you as his wife don't feel it would be a good idea to move, you can tell your husband your concerns and why you think moving wouldn't be a good idea. But if your husband still thinks it's the best course to take, then as his wife, you must yield to his decision. And you know, it can be hard as a wife in this day when the world is telling you that you do not have to submit to your husband. But God's design in marriage is for wives to submit to their husbands. Even if your husband isn't a believer, as a wife, you're to submit to him. 1 Peter 3:1, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation, that's behavior, of the wives. You know, this verse is saying an unbelieving husband might be won over to faith in Christ when you, as a wife, a Christian woman, are in subjection to him. Of course, submitting to your husband does not include doing something illegal or immoral, sinful. As Christian wives, you are ultimately to submit to the Lord and his commands. As it said in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And notice that verse says, submit to your own husbands. You're not to submit to other men, other husbands. You're a married couple, and that special relationship you have is with your husband only. There's a second instruction God gives to wives, and that is reverence your husband. You look at the last part of Ephesians 5:33, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Reverence means to have a feeling or attitude of deep respect for another. God calls wives to respect their husbands. It doesn't matter what a husband does for a living. It doesn't matter what his faults are, or how much he weighs, or how old he is. A wife is to have an attitude of deep respect for her husband. You know, as a wife, there are things that you only know about your husband. You know his bad habits, They might frustrate you, like not putting things away after he uses them, getting water all over the bathroom mirror. I've heard of husbands that do that. Or coming home with a brand new tool when you need to replace that cracked basin in the bathroom. You know his fears, you know his weaknesses that no one else knows. And yet, despite all the lumps and bumps your husband has, you're to reverence him. And you have to have a deep respect for him that only you can give. If you find yourself dwelling on his faults and getting frustrated with them, and if you find yourself criticizing him when talking to friends and telling them about his faults, you're not showing respect for your husband. And this isn't right, because you're not doing what God tells you to do. When King David and all the house of Israel, they brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. It had been retrieved from the Philistines. He was very excited. David was so excited. He was dancing as they marched the Ark of the Covenant back. And David's wife, Michal, saw him making what she thought was a spectacle of himself. 2 Samuel 6:16, and as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Instead of being joyous with her husband that the ark was being brought back, she didn't respect her husband for what he was doing. And she came out to chastise him for what she believed was his shameful behavior. 2 Samuel 6:20, then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself." Michal paid a price for her lack of respect of her husband, didn't she? Because she never had children. She became barren. 2 Samuel 6:23, therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. It's the will of God that as wives you respect your husband. And you know, when you respect your husband, it will not be as difficult to submit to him when he decides about something that you might not agree with. Submit and respect for your husband are two things that God calls wives to do. So what about husbands? There are three things that we're told. The first is to submit to Christ. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject under Christ, unto Christ. The church is subject unto Christ. We are subject unto Christ. So as a man, as a husband, you are subject unto Christ. You are to submit to Jesus Christ and his commandments. As believers, we are part of the church of Jesus Christ. So we're to submit to his will and his commandments. It's only when we're living and behaving ourselves according to the will of Christ that we can be husbands that please God. You know, I believe this is a big problem in Christian families because husbands aren't willing to submit to Christ. Many husbands don't want to forsake worldly pleasures to live godly and holy lives. Titus 1:16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. As husbands, the most important thing you and I must do is to submit to Christ. Godly homes require godly husbands, and godly husbands live in submission to Jesus Christ. As Jesus said in John 14:15, If ye love me, keep my commandments. That is such a simple verse, but it's so profound because it requires us to submit to our Lord. You know, submission started first when Jesus submitted to God the Father. He said in John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. There's an order of authority that God has established, and we must live in obedience to this order. The line of authority is in 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Christ is my head. Christ is your head as a husband. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. And we as men and husbands are to submit to Christ, the head of the church. And by living in submission to Christ, we're able to properly carry out the second thing that God requires us to do, and that's to be the head of the home. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. We're responsible to be the head of the home. And that's a great responsibility that we must take seriously as husbands. There are so many people today living in common law marriages because I believe men are unwilling to be the head of the home. Men don't want to commit. They don't want to be responsible for the woman that they're living with. They want to keep their options open. Well, in case something doesn't work out and we aren't getting along, or maybe somebody else is going to come along. I don't know. But God expects us as husbands to be responsible and take care of our wife and our children. We're to be committed to our marriage and committed to our wives. We're not to shirk our God-given obligation to be the head of the home. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned by eating from the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, what did Adam do when he spoke to God? He tried to pin the blame on his wife because he ate the fruit. Adam said in Genesis 3:12, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. That is so tempting. Well, it's not my fault. She just gave me that fruit and I ate it. Don't blame me. But as the head of the family, Adam was responsible for the sin that they had both committed. And all the world since then has suffered the curse of death because of the sin of Adam. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Notice the Bible does not say that wherefore as by the sin of Adam and Eve. It's just Adam. He's the man who takes responsibility. He was the head of the home. Being the head of the home doesn't mean husbands are to be treated like kings. You don't go home and put your feet up and have your wife run around and put slippers on you and give you a drink, and you know, you gotta work, right? You gotta earn a living. You gotta help keep the home. You gotta look after the needs of your wife and family. We must not be lazy and uncaring as husbands, which brings us to the third thing a husband must do, which is very important, is love your wife as Christ loved the church. And that's Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. A husband's life for his wife is much more than a Valentine's card or taking her out for dinner on her birthday and buying some nice gifts. It must be as deep as Christ's love is for us. Jesus gave his very life for the church. And why did he do it? Ephesians 5, 26, 27, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I know of a husband who abandoned his wife. She became sick with dementia. She had to go into a home. So what did he do? He went and started living with another woman. Well, his sick wife was in a home. Another man I know, I met it in a construction site. He left his wife. They had adopted a child, a Romanian girl, and she had health problems. So the man divorced his wife, and he went and married somebody else. That's not the love that Christ had for us, is it? Can you imagine if Christ said, I didn't die for you. You sin too much. I don't like you. You aren't worth saving from hell. You've sinned too many times. I don't want to have you in my kingdom. But Jesus loves us despite our sinful condition. He loved us so much that he gave his life on the cross to save us from hell. And he shed his blood that our sins would be washed from our record. We as husbands are to love our wives as much as we love ourselves. That's what it says, Ephesians 5, 28 and 29. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. As husbands, we look after ourselves, don't we? When we're hungry, we eat. When we're tired, we go to bed. We have showers to get clean. We brush our hair. We look after ourselves. We go to the doctor when we're not feeling well. We're careful that our bodies don't get injured. We nourish our bodies and we cherish our bodies. And cherish means to treat with tenderness and affection. And so we must nourish our wives. We must treat them with tenderness and affection. Ephesians 5:32 repeats that we're to love our wives as much as we love ourselves. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And we're to love our wives to the extent that we give them honor. A wife is not a second-class citizen. A wife is to receive honor. Likewise, 1 Peter 3, 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. To honor your wife means to reverence her and respect her. It's a good thing to have a wife. Oh, you husbands, do you agree? Is it a good thing to have a wife? I don't think anybody'd say no here. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. That's Proverbs 18:22. So in closing, a wife is to submit to her husband. She's to reverence her husband. A husband is to submit to Christ. He is the head of the family, the head of his wife and home, and he is to love his wife. These are simple truths that we're to live by as husbands and wives. And that brings peace and harmony in a marriage. When God established marriage between a man and woman, it was never to be a partnership, was it? It's not a contract. You know, sometimes you have marriages where a husband or a wife wants to protect their assets, so they have a prenuptial contract or agreement. That's not what marriage is. It's a union between a man and a woman, so you become one flesh. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And this union is a picture of the union between Christ and all believers in his, which is his church. As Ephesians 5:30 and 32 says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Christ is the groom, we are the bride, and one day every believer will be at the marriage of the Lamb." And that's detailed in Revelation chapter 19. "So as husbands and wives, let us strive to live as one flesh. Let us shun the world's ways that go against what the Bible says and have a marriage that conforms to God's way and is pleasing to him." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these verses on marriage. And I know, Lord, that your desire is for us to live in obedience to you. Your desire is for husbands to submit to Christ. And Lord, I pray that as the days go on, that I grow more submissive to my Savior. And I pray that husbands here as well would strive to live in obedience to his commands, to show their love for him. And I do pray, Lord, that each one of us as husbands would just continue to love our wives and treat them with honor and respect and look after them. I also thank you for our wives, Lord, and I pray that they would just seek to live in obedience to you and understand that they have a place in the home, and you've given us instructions on how they are to live in submission to their husbands. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.